Computer-driven automation has transformed nearly every industry, from building cars to sorting mail. We've all had computers on our desks for the better part of 30 years, and yet nothing characterizes government work so much as paperwork. Our next guest believes automation and artificial intelligence could free up billions of man-hours worth of paperwork. Bill Eggers is Executive Director of Deloitte's Center for Government Insights. He talked with Tom Temin about some of the research to support that claim.
We did an analysis, I think the first ever major analysis of the entire federal government, looking at how do government employees spend their time today. And we determined that they spend about 4.3 billion hours doing various activities. And our research indicated that the largest amount of time was actually spent on simply documenting and recording information, which costs more than about $16 billion in wages and takes up literally hundreds of millions of hours of labor time. And another one was procuring and processing information, which eats up 125 billion hours, costing another 15 billion. You know, these are non-core tasks, which a great deal of that could easily be automated, allowing federal employees to spend more time focused on mission-critical work.
A lot of these tasks do require some human intervention. If you're writing a report or justifying what you've done or recording what you've done, there's some discretion involved in how you do that. And so how could this be automated yet still have some assurance that it's accurate, what is submitted to Congress or to your boss or wherever?
Well, actually, that's a great question. And that's a big part of what we argue in the paper, in that when you look at a lot of these other analysis about, you know, 40% of all jobs are going to go away due to AI and so forth. We actually didn't focus on jobs. We focused on tasks, because a long history of technology substituting for labor tells us that technology doesn't replace jobs wholesale. Instead, technology substitutes for particular tasks, and over a long period of time, some of those jobs may go away. And so that was our focus, is on tasks. And so what that would mean would be, you could imagine over time, for the next 5 to 7 years, for the average employee, 25 to 30% of the tasks and activities that they do could be automated, but not their whole job, just because, of course, we do need oftentimes that human discretion. And there's a lot of things that humans do that machines won't be doing anytime soon. So I think that's the really key element of this to understand, is it having an activity focused as opposed to simply a job focused when you look at automation.
You make an interesting distinction between replacement of work, such as the Postal Service, where automatically they can read pretty much anything written down nowadays. Nobody has to read the address on letters and things that are sent that people have written, much less machine-generated addresses. And the distinction is with split up, where there are some jobs that people do, parts of which could be automated, leaving them to think about things. So elaborate a little bit on how that might work.
Sure. We actually identified four main approaches to automation: relieve, split up, replace, and augment. And whatever works best is going to be based on choices that government leaders, managers, and policymakers make, but also what's actually viable. Now, so relieving simply means allowing technology to take over these mundane tasks, and you're freeing workers for more valuable work. And we think a lot of the early automation we're going to see is going to be about relieving. And then what that's going to do is help to address backlogs and other issues. Now, splitting up, it involves breaking a job into steps or pieces, or what we call decomposing that job or activity. You automate as much as possible, and then you leave humans to do the remainder and perhaps supervise the automated work. So if you think about relying on machine language translation for foreign translation, and leaving professional translators to just clean up the results is an example. Replacing is simply when your technology is used to do an entire job once done by a human. And the best opportunities for that include repetitive tasks with very uniform components and simple rules and so forth. So that, as you mentioned, the post office uses handwriting recognition to sort mail by zip code, and they can process 18,000 pieces of mail an hour, these machines. But then the last area is augmenting and extending. And that means allowing technology to make workers more effective by complementing their skills. And that's really the real, I think, big value of AI involved, because what you're doing is you're extending our ability as humans to do things that today are not actually possible and create more public value.
We're speaking with Bill Eggers, Executive Director of Deloitte's Center for Government Insights. What's your sense of how far along development of these types of tools really is? I mean, if you listen to the automatic driving car people, you know, next year we're all going to get out and sit in the back seat. But it seems like this is somewhat a simpler problem for AI than driving and flying airplanes.
Well, I think when you look overall, I mean, the first thing to understand is there's a lot of different types of AI. There's machine translation that we talked about. There's computer vision, which is when you go onto Google Photos and they're able to essentially tell every time that you've been in front of a monument and so forth. There's other things like machine intelligence, and that's where the computers are actually learning over time. There's this process automation, which is a more basic type. So between all of the different types of AI, they're on different trajectories in terms of how fast they're getting better and their performance is improving. But I will say most of these technologies, their performance is improving at an exponential rate. So they're getting so much better very, very quickly. And we're seeing that with machine translation and some of the things that Google has done. But in the end, Tom, you know, to actually implement these within companies, within governments and major organizations, that's going to take a huge amount of kind of business process reengineering and work redesign and changing all sorts of things within an organization to take advantage of them. And that's not going to happen overnight. That's going to happen over the next decade or so, and while these technologies mature. So I think in general, we're really at the early stages, you know, especially in government, in terms of actually using them. It's probably where the internet would have been maybe 15, 20 years ago.
And yet the need seems fairly urgent, because the federal government discretionary budgets are growing very slowly, if at all. And agencies like Veterans Affairs that you mentioned, Social Security, increasing workloads that are anticipated, IRS, and it seems like those have processes that are just ripe for this kind of automation.
Yeah, I mean, we're facing some really big backlogs in a lot of areas. And what AI is going to allow us to do is overcome some of these resource constraints on us, because these machines are able to sift through massive amounts of data and documents in very little time. I mean, electronic document discovery is allowing, you know, lawyers to locate 95% of relevant documents in the discovery phase of legal cases, compared to about 50% of humans, and then a fraction of the time. And so when you look at these sort of big backlogs, which are very frustrating to both citizens and to government employees, what AI is going to allow us to do is sift through these data backlogs, take appropriate action, and leaving the more difficult cases to human experts. So then you have this robotic process automation reduces the backlogs by performing some of these processes kind of on a massive scale and doing them quickly. But again, this is hard work. You have to do a lot of training of the bots, and you have to change your systems around. So even in that case, it's not going to happen right away. But I think what's critical is when you look at workforce planning and planning around any of these systems, that AI and process automation becomes a key element of what people are looking at. So you've got the employees, you've got contractors, and now essentially you've got bots as the kind of the three-legged stool of your workforce.
And it strikes me that besides increasing productivity and reducing man hours spent on mundane things, these tools promise to maybe increase the accuracy of output by taking out human error in interpreting regulations and laws that might be applying to cases where there are backlogs.
Well, absolutely. And that's a big part of what's happening in medicine today, where they're using Watson and other machine learning technologies basically to help reduce medical errors. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, humans can't sift through millions and millions of cases kind of in real time and understand the best way to address the situation or what rule is the most pertinent and so forth. But that is something that computers are very good at doing once you've trained them accordingly. So in that way, you should be able to you know, dramatically reduce errors around everything from unemployment insurance to giving companies recommendations in terms of how to comply with regulations. What I see is this kind of super empowered worker, whether it's the regulatory inspector or a child welfare worker, who has access to this kind of machine learning when they're making decisions in the field. And then those decisions become better, but also more uniform in terms of the best practices we know from looking at millions of prior cases.